We find then, in any case, this period of considerable evidence of destruction in these major Mycenaean sites. Now, it's interesting, too, that a number of them were never again re-inhabited. That's not true for all of them. Corinth was, Pylos was. But Mycenae, the greatest of the Mycenaean sites, was never again inhabited. You can go to it today, and it rests in a kind of a sovereign repose. It's really haunting in a certain way to go to that place and to think of Agamemnon and the other Greeks. Now, later Greek memory and the archaeological record both suggest that we can make some sense of these invasions in connection with some people called the Dorians. Now, the Greeks basically later remembered the Dorian invasions as if it were somehow one process, one great invasion, with one people primarily involved, primarily sort of making all of the trouble. It's certainly true that the Dorians were one of the groups who pushed southward into the Balkans at about this time. Probably they were people who had trailed behind those much earlier migrations of people into the Balkans. They may very well have settled up in what we call Thessaly, for example, considerably further to the north, and now, after the Mycenaean period, have begun moving yet further south and entering the Peloponnesus, that is to say, the southernmost portion of the Balkan Peninsula, the great peninsula on the bottom of the peninsula, if you like, the land on the other side of the Gulf of Corinth, if you have a sort of a picture of the Greek world in your mind. Now, what is clear is that the Dorians were not alone in disrupting Greece, even if the Greek tradition later remembered the story that way and remembered the Dorians as the great invaders. Introducing the Dorians provides us with an opportunity to clear up a couple of pieces of terminology. If the Dorians themselves are a puzzle, so too are one or two other things. For example, why do we call the Greeks Greeks? Why do we call their land Greece? We do that because the Romans did. The Romans called them Graeci, and they called their land Graecia. And we basically borrowed our terminology from Latin, which isn't playing fair with the Greeks. They called themselves Hellenes, and they called their land Hellas. And the word that we have as Greek, they would have as Helladic. But anyway, we're probably not going to get away from Greek and Greece, so we'll stick with that. Now, it's also true to say that there are several kinds of Greeks. There isn't just one kind of Greek, there are several. Now, we talked in the last lecture briefly about how difficult it is to characterize people ethnically, biologically, over long periods of time. It's probably fair to say that there were some modest differences among the various kinds of Greeks, but the fundamental differences among them were linguistic. They spoke Greek in slightly different ways. Now, the basic groups are the Dorians, about whom we have spoken just a moment ago, and then the Ionic Greeks. Those are the Greeks who lived over on the Aegean coast of Anatolia. All right? What the Romans would later call Asia Minor. What we would think of as Western Turkey. There are the Aeolic Greeks. The Aeolic Greeks are the ones who live in the northernmost portion of the Greek world, north of the Gulf of Corinth, or northwest of Athens. And there are finally the Attic Greeks. Those are the Greeks of Athens. Now, how do these Greeks differ from one another? How would you recognize one? If we take a word like demos, the Greek word for people, spelled out in English, D-E-M-O-S. In Doric Greek, that same word is D-A-M-O-S. So instead of saying demos, you said damos. It's not so unlike, for example, the differences in the way a person from Boston and a person from Savannah might speak our American English. It's basically the same language. Slightly different vocabulary, slightly different expressions, slightly different pronunciation. But that's the kind of differences, that's the scale of differences we're dealing with. And they aren't so great. But we do have different peoples, then, around the Greek world in different places. Now, the Dorian invasions ushered in a period that we refer to as the Greek Dark Ages. Now, we don't call this the Dark Ages because we're trying to be insulting to it, because we're trying to say that it was an awful time. It is a time of small, illiterate communities. Let me repeat that. It's a time of small, illiterate communities. Now, I'm sure you're thinking along with me, and you're thinking, gee, he explained all of that business about language and linear scripts and syllabic scripts and linear B documents, and they were actually written in Greek and all that. What do you mean, illiterate? The Greeks forgot how to write. They're the only people we know of historically who achieved writing and lost it. Now, they're going to get it back pretty soon. But the point is, they forgot how to write. So now we have no linear B documents. We have no documents at all. And the later tradition actually doesn't seem to have known very much about this period, which we can say runs, well, maybe 1100 down to sort of 900, 800 BC, roughly, the Greek Dark Ages. So it's dark fundamentally because it's a period about which we know little. We can shed very little light on it. That's the sense in which it's dark. But it doesn't appear to have been an entirely felicitous time either. It was a time of depopulation. It was a time of deurbanization. And it appears to have been a time of scant construction. We just don't see the kinds of grand structures that marked the Mycenaean period. Now, this is a good opportunity to pause and say just a quick word about archaeology and the elaboration of the discipline of archaeology. Archaeologists found without trouble those spectacular Mycenaean sites. Many of them are sort of poking through the ground today and they're visible to the naked eye, although excavators have had to take them down a great deal to really get to the root of things, to get to the bottom of things. When archaeology first arose a few centuries ago, in a clear way in the middle of the 19th century, but in a